I want you to think with me now. First, I want to wish everybody a very happy and prosperous new year in the Lord. And that we'll all do well this year and gain grounds beyond what we've ever gained before. Now I want you to think with me about a scripture here in the third chapter of Philippians, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I hope that God will help you and me to breathe this air and move into this atmosphere. Now he said, I forget the things that are behind. I was looking through some old copies just on the front page of several old copies of Reader's Digest. I was looking for a particular something that I had read back two or three years ago, I guess. And I noticed on one of them, the line there, the title of an article, and that struck me. I thought, well, that's a good theme note for a New Year message. It says, the only way to go is forward. I think that is a pretty good perspective for us to get. Amen. This morning. There's just one way for us to go, and that's forward. No backing up. Forgetting the things which are behind, we're not going backward. Lord got that thought to me one time when I had driven out. I was living in Anthony, Kansas then. And on Sunday morning, I had driven out in the edge of the country there to meditate and study some in preparation for the Sunday morning service. And I drove down a little side road there, and I came to where a bridge was out, and I couldn't go any further, so I just stopped right there in the road, and that's where I did my meditation and preparation for the Sunday morning service. And when it was time to go, I started my car engine, and I couldn't go forward, I had to go backward. There wasn't any place there to turn around, so I had to back out of that place. And I just naturally turned around and started looking backward because I was going backward. The Lord spoke to me right then. He says, it's always good to look in the direction you're going. I was going backward then, so I had to look backward. And he told about some folks in the Bible. The Israelites said if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have gone back. And folks, that's just what happens to the biggest part of the people that get to looking back. Pretty soon they're going back. Let's don't look back. Let's look ahead. And just keep in mind that the only way to go is forward. To go ahead. Now that's what Paul was doing in this. I forget the things that are past and reach for those things that are before. Some of us might like to, we might wish that we could go back and live over some experiences in our lives. I have had some very pleasant experiences in my life, and I'm sure you have too, and you might enjoy living those over again. Well, I've had some real unpleasant ones, and maybe you've had some of that kind too, and you wouldn't enjoy it, but sometimes we remember those things, and we didn't come through them just like we felt like we should, and when it was all over, we felt like we had maybe tarnished our profession of Christ and the image of Christianity some. And some things I feel like I'd like to go back and go through them again and see if I couldn't polish up the image of Christianity some and come out of them better than what I did. But we can't do that. But I would like at this point to remind us that it is the personal responsibility of every child of God to brighten and burnish and polish the image of Christianity before the members of our family and household where we live, and before the people with whom we associate and where we work and wherever we be. It's our responsibility to brighten and polish the image of Christianity and make the way attractive to people. And people who are saved and living in a household where there are unsaved people, sometimes there's one saved person and that's the only one that's saved, the whole family. It's that person's personal responsibility to polish and burnish the image of Christianity to their family and make it attractive to them. Someone once said that the difference between an American and any other kind of person is that an American lives in anticipation of the future because he knows it will be a great place. Other people fear the future as just a repetition of past failures. Well, I read that and then I thought about you and me. Individuals. How many of us look forward to the future with anticipation, knowing it'll be a great place? I mentioned a while back about a little deal Evelyn has in the bathroom up home. It shows two people, I think they're little children, and they've kind of got their heads together and they're standing there, and underneath it says, "Together is a wonderful place to be." Well, I'd like to carry the thought to the future. The future's a wonderful place to be. It's a great place. And let us not look forward to the future with fear that it'll just be a repetition of mistakes that we've made and failures of the past. But let us resolve to profit by our failures, to benefit by them. Failures can be stepping stones if we handle them right. And the things that have happened to us in the past that we feel have been failures in our representing Christ as we should and manifesting Christ in the way that we should, let us learn from those experiences and let them be stepping stones to us. Bright anticipations and a bright outlook on the future and continuing hopes of better things ahead has always been the incentive that has kept our people striving and reaching out for those better things because we believed that they were there and we could attain them. Folks, I'm telling you, there's some things out there that you and I can get. Things that we haven't attained to as yet. Things that we can get a hold of that'll bless our lives. That will enrich us in the divine virtues and graces of God and let us look to the future in that confidence that there are better things ahead. Now this has been the underlying characteristic and principle that has given the American people the urge to go out and extend their borders and push their waves westward and establish and extend their civilization. They believed that there were great things out there. You and I need to believe that there are great things ahead for us. It may be that some of the trends of late years have somewhat disillusioned you and me as to our outlook on our future as a nation, burst some of our bubbles, and shattered some of our dreams. However, I will be quick to say that I still consider the United States of America the best place in the world to live, and I wouldn't trade my citizenship here for a citizenship in any other country that I know of in the world. I believe this is the best place to live, and I'm happy to be living here, and as a citizen here, it's up to me to help make the country a little better than what it would be otherwise. But what I have said concerning our disillusion and disillusionment and dim view of our future nationally and politically and our shattered dreams and different things along that line, it should never be the case with us concerning our spiritual future. We should not have any shattered dreams concerning our spiritual future. And we should not be meeting with dim views and disillusionments of what God has for them that love Him. He says it, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Folks, God has prepared some wonderful things for the children of God. And we're just ready to cross the threshold now into another year, another segment of time, and let us cross the threshold in that perspective and with that view that 1981 will contain many wonderful things for every one of us if we'll just go in and get them. Someone said, and I don't know who said this, but they said the future For a Christian is just as bright as the promises of God. Now, faith makes them that way. Faith in the promises of God makes your future and mine bright. And there's no disillusionment in this, folks. These things are real. And not one word of all of His good promises has ever failed. We never knew it to fail in our behalf, and the Scripture said that, so that makes it so for me that it never has failed. Not one of His good promises has ever failed. And in this knowledge, we can face our future. We can go into this new year. It's an uncertain time. We don't know what 1981 holds for us. We can't read the future 1 hour ahead. But we can go into the future of this year with that confidence in our God that He has the future in His hands, and when we get there, He'll be there and have everything under control. That He'll be taking care of everything, and He's forever the same, and His grace is always sufficient, and His supply is always inexhaustible. Said He'd supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And Paul said that those riches were unsearchable. They're inexhaustible. That gives God an inexhaustible supply to draw on to fulfill that promise to supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. So we can face our future with a bright anticipation. Folks, let's do it now. Let's do this. Face our future with a bright anticipation and a strong outreach for higher heights and longer lengths and broader breadths and deeper depths in the spiritual and eternal things of God than we have ever attained to yet. And if you have reached a kind of a stalemate in your experience and kind of settled down on your knees and are willing for things to rock along as they are with you, I urge you to make a New Year's resolution and stick by it that you're not going to go on through 1981 that way. You're going to jar loose and regardless of how other things go or how things turn out for our country and politically in the future, that we're going to go right on being renewed in our strength from day to day. In the natural material world, there are individuals and teams of individuals who are constantly engaged in medical research and experimentation and scientific research and experimentation in efforts to discover better cures for disease and better ways and means whereby they can improve the standards of living of the people. Now, Solomon, in Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter and verse 29, he said, "This one thing have I seen, that God made man upright, but he sought out many inventions." And these things are going on right along in the natural material world. I read an article under the title of Those Brave Men. In the Reader's Digest, sometime back, and it was an occasion in the Second World War, and Germany and America were in a race, in a dead heat, to see which one of them could perfect a nuclear weapon ahead of the other. Germany was holding some advantage in that race. They were out ahead of us. Hitler had announced that he was coming out with a secret weapon in the near future that would bring the enemy to his knees and end the war. Well, that was it. That's what he was after. And he was out ahead of us in that particular area. But the Allied Army's intelligence staff, they discovered and knew where this plant was, where that was being developed. So they chose a man that had grown up in that particular area of Norway where that plant was set up. Germany had taken over Norway at that time. And the plant was set up there. And he knew, figuratively speaking, every square foot of that area. He had grown up there. And he looked the maps over and the plans, the whole layout, real good. And he figured out a way they could get in there. It was very remote, and it is very well guarded. But he figured out a way that they could get in there. So they gave him a group of men, a small group of men, and he put them through some severe, strenuous, specialized training for the job they had to do. When they were ready and the time came, he led them around. It is a very difficult way, but he led them around there and they got into that plant and blew it up. And got out. I don't think any of them lost their lives in that venture, but they got out. Well, that threw Germany behind on their schedule and gave the advantage to America. And we came up with the atomic bomb first, ahead of them. If that venture had failed, it's hard to tell. We might have all been slaves of the Third Reich by now instead of being where we are. No doubt it would have swung the advantage of the war that way. But now, these things are going on all the time. Researches, experimentation, development, scientific, medically, and so on. Going on all the time. And there are important prizes given every year to people for outstanding accomplishments in their particular fields. The Nobel Prize, never other prizes, given to people for their outstanding accomplishments. But now, let us think of us. We're not going to turn the world upside down. And maybe the world at large won't ever know we've been in it. And that we've been among them. But if we will devote our lives like these men do to spiritual research, searching out ways and means of enriching our lives, our spiritual lives, increasing ourselves in the divine virtues and graces of God, all along the line, I say that the world has their races going on, but if every one of us could breathe this air and get into this particular atmosphere in our lives, there would certainly be as I mentioned, we're not going to set the world on fire and they may never know we've been here, but there would certainly be a congregation-wide race on among us for discovering riches of divine grace that we haven't discovered yet, and things that would enrich our lives and enable us to benefit other lives and bless them along the way of life. In the third chapter of Ecclesiastes in verse 11, he says, God has set the world in their heart. Somebody threw that at me one time when I was talking about God's children not being of the world, not loving the world. And well, they said, brother, he said he set the world in their heart. Well, it wasn't the world that he forbid us to love. It wasn't the world that he forbid us to associate with and have any attachment to. The world that he set in people's hearts, and folks, it's in every person's heart, was that spiritual and eternal world, the things of the spiritual and eternal things of God, the outreach of the soul for those spiritual and eternal things that would make God real to every soul, to every individual. In the Psalms, there's a text in the 42nd Psalm, verse 7, it says, deep crieth unto deep. What does it mean? It's a deep, down deep inside of your soul crying out for the deep things of God. That's what every man wants. And the psalmist said in 119 Psalm, verse 18, he says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. Folks, there are some wonderful things in there that you and I have never dug out yet. And if we're kind of satisfied with our degree of knowledge of God's Word, let's shake ourselves as we enter into this new year that we're not going to be satisfied with what we know about God's Word. We're going to dig into it deeper and harder in 1981 than we ever have in our lives. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, in verse 16-17, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for this, that, and the other, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And then he tells us in 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, pursue this course, develop this line, and improve ourselves, enrich ourselves, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every year that passes, we're getting a little older. But though the outward man perish, I see to it that the inward man is renewed day by day. And every day that passes, we renew our inward man with study and reading of God's Word and with meditation and with prayer and devotion and communication with God, that we refresh and renew our inward man. Now back to the Apostle Paul's statement here in the lesson, the text. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind. Listen, folks, you and I need to forget some things. We need to let some things go. It's the worrying about the mistakes of yesterday and the fears of the possibilities of tomorrow that makes us ineffective in meeting this particular time in which we're now living today and meeting our problems today. If you're worrying about mistakes you made yesterday, that'll weaken you, make you ineffective. And if you're anxious about the forebodings of tomorrow, the future, that'll limit you and make you ineffective. And you can't live successfully the time in which you're now living today. Jesus taught us faithfully that we would learn to live one day at a time and segregate it from all the other days. Just concentrate on today. We can't live our lives one year at a time. We live them one day at a time. And we can't live them our best unless we segregate today from yesterday and tomorrow and just live today. One old Greek philosopher said, perform your worst tomorrow, for I have lived today. Jesus admonished us and warned us about getting our days mixed up. And that's what people do when they worry about tomorrow or yesterday. Whatever happened yesterday, it's happened, and it can't unhappen. Just profit by it. Build on it. It'll make today better. Forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And folks, let me tell you something. There's nothing quite so great an incentive to press forward as to see something to press forward to. Let us enter 1981 with a perspective of far horizons and seeing great things, great victories, great blessings for our lives and the lives of others. Striving to excel. That's what the Bible said. Inasmuch as ye are desirous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edification of the church. I don't want to excel and outdo somebody. He taught us in the 10th chapter of Hebrews and verse 24, consider one another and provoke to love and good works. Another translation said, outdo one another in love and good works. Well, I don't want to outdo you just to be beating you at something. But it's all for the edification of the church. God help you and me, and this is one place it's all right to strive and compete. That's what the text says. Provoke one another. Incite one another. Outdo one another in love and good works. That's all right. As long as you're doing it to edify the church and not build yourself up. If you're just trying to build yourself up and promote your own cause, that's bad. The Bible said ye suffer when a man exalts himself. That's bad. But as long as... Well, one preacher said to me one time, he says, I don't claim to be the best, but I'm trying to be the best. He was working at it. We may not even be conscious of what we're doing, but let us earnestly be striving, provoking one another, outdoing one another in love and good works to edify the church, upbuild the church. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to ask the young folks to come up and sing our very familiar song now, Press On. Come up to the microphone and sing this, and let's let it be a booster for us, a kickoff song, so to speak, for the incoming year. And we're going to press on to greater things.
Press on, my brother, sister, and face the deadly foe. Through Jesus Christ we'll conquer while traveling here below. Press on, press on, press on, says Christ our loving friend. Press on, press on, press on, press on. I'm with to the end. Press on and let thy failings a blessing to thee prove. No wave of care or sorrow thy trusting soul shall move. Press on, press on, press on, press on, says Christ our loving friend. Life's rough rapids, he'll safely guide thy soul. Press on, press on, press on, press on, says Christ our loving friend. Press on, press on, press on, press on, press on, I'm with thee to the end. Press on, it's strong temptation, till Satan he must flee. In Jesus' name resist him, and victory thine shall be. Press on, press on, press on, press on, says Christ our loving friend. Press on, press on, press on, press on, press on, press on. I'm with thee to. in faith believing too. In spite of doubt or feeling, God's word will take you through. Press on, says Christ, our loving friend.